Our text is both the gospel reading and the second reading today. I read for you again these words. Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come." So far the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. Last week we heard Jesus say, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." And while that last part is rather comforting, the part about our hearing His voice and following Him can be difficult at times. He says something similar today when He says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." Indeed, sometimes what Jesus says is hard to hear and hard to bear. Life in this world, in the now, can be difficult. Problems of all kinds surround us on every side. At such difficult times, it is most helpful to hear what our Lord says lies ahead, for that will give us hope and strength we need to carry on. To be sure, the disciples were having a time of sorrow and sadness and grief. It's Thursday evening. Jesus has been telling them some disturbing things. He's been saying that He's about to go away, that He's returning to the Father, and they won't be seeing Him for a little while. This fills them with grief. Obviously, they're going to miss their Master. He had called them to be His disciples, and they've been with Him these past couple of years, and they've witnessed some astounding things. Jesus has done great works of mercy and power, healing the sick, casting out demons, stilling storms, feeding the multitudes. They had never seen such things like these. And they've heard Jesus' remarkable teachings, His words of wisdom and insight, unlike any others. Jesus had demonstrated an authority in word and in deed that could come only from God. This has been life-changing for these men, to be with Jesus in such close contact during this time. But now He says He's going away. Imagine their shock and sadness and confusion. How can this be? What will we do? How can we cope? What does he mean by this little while when we will see Him again? You and I may have similar questions. Our now may not be so pleasant. We wonder how we're going to cope when we see our life savings going down at the same time that gasoline and food prices are going up. We wonder how we're going to cope when we get a bad diagnosis of cancer or other dread disease, and how we're going to pay all those medical bills. We wonder how we're going to cope when a loved one abandons us and refuses to be reconciled. We're saddened when our adult child doesn't ever take the initiative to reach out to us and says they're too busy whenever we suggest getting together. All of these things and much more cause pain and grief and cause our hearts to be downcast. Is this the kind of now that is it? Is this all there is? Do we have any hope for the future? Well, that's what the disciples were wrestling with. Jesus says he's going to be leaving us. And what will happen to us then? Was this all for naught? Well, Jesus knows what they're thinking and feeling, and he addresses their sadness and sorrow. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice." Actually, that sounds even worse. At least, though, Jesus is being honest. He doesn't sugarcoat things. He knows that they're going to be weeping and lamenting. And at the same time, the world will be rejoicing. This can only mean one thing. Jesus' enemies, who have been out to get him, are going to succeed. And they, that is, his enemies, will rejoice that they finally got him. Jesus had told his disciples that this would happen. He had said several times that when they go up to Jerusalem, he would be arrested and handed over to sinful men, and that they will kill him. And he has just said that very evening that one of the 12 is going to betray him. The bad news is in the process of happening that very night. Of course, this comes like a blow to the disciples. They're stunned. They're confused. They're saddened. How is it helping, Jesus, that you're saying you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice? It's helping because it is by this very act of Jesus' enemies triumphing over him, which will happen tonight and tomorrow, that he will paradoxically gain the victory. His crucifixion will be the sacrifice that atones for the sins of the world. Yes, your sins and mine. His blood will cleanse your sin-stained garments. His death will be death's undoing. All the devil's ammunition against you have been stripped away from him. Christ's righteousness covers your guilt and your shame. Now, you are right with God. No more barrier, no more wall of separation between you and God. Peace has been made in the body and blood of Christ. This is the basis for what Jesus says next. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. Think of the big change that happened for those disciples from Thursday night to Sunday night. Thursday night, they're sad when Jesus tells them these things. It gets worse when Jesus is arrested in the garden and they all scattered. Friday, there's the shock when Jesus is crucified and now is dead and buried. All their hopes are crushed. Saturday is the saddest Sabbath they'd ever had. They're despondent and frightened. On Sunday, they huddle in secret with the door locked for fear that Jesus' enemies will now come after them. Oh, yes, they hear some crazy talk from some women about Jesus supposedly rising from the dead. But who can believe that? But then, suddenly, Jesus appears in their locked room. Jesus greets them with peace. He lets them touch and handle his body to see that he is not a ghost. They see the nail marks in his hands. Yes, it really is Jesus risen from the dead. And now is fulfilled what Jesus had told them would happen. Their sorrow is turned to joy. Jesus told them this would happen using the analogy of a woman giving birth. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Now, it is most certainly true that I have never given birth to a baby. Believe it or not, a biological male cannot be a birthing person, no matter how he may try to self-identify. But I was in the room when my daughters were born, and I can attest that the actual birthing person does go through not just some, but a lot of anguish. And she may even remember that pain a little later. But that anguish is far outweighed by the joy that the little baby gives. What Jesus is saying, dear Christian, is that the pain and anguish of your now will be far, far outweighed by the incredible joy that is in store for you. The Apostle John was given a glimpse of the new that awaits us. And he passes that vision on to us in the book of Revelation. And it gives us a sure hope of what we have to look forward to. He says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." This current heaven and earth are messed up. The whole creation is groaning due to damage that sin has wrought. We have earthquakes and droughts, floods and tornadoes, and more tornadoes, and so much more. But all of that is coming to an end. God is going to replace the damaged old with a perfect new. A renewed creation where everything will work right, like it was before the fall into sin, when everything was very good. And what does John see next? "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Notice that the holy city comes down from God to us. That's the way it always goes with our salvation, from God to us, and not the other way around. The bride is the church. Her husband is Christ. The church is adorned like a bride, radiant, beautiful, no more flaws or ugliness. And this beauty, this adornment, is all given to her by her bridegroom. And a loud voice says, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." And now we see why the holy city is called the New Jerusalem. For this Jerusalem was where the temple was, where God had made his dwelling in the midst of his people. And God is going to do that again in the New Jerusalem. And we will be delighted to be God's people, to be in perfect communion with him. And here is God's promise. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Now, we feel the pain and the mourning and the crying of the old creation. When the new heaven and the new earth arrive, that is, when Christ comes again, when the new Jerusalem comes down from heaven, then all that old painful stuff will be gone and forgotten. No more death, only life. No more tears, only joy and gladness. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. When that day comes, our Lord will say, "Behold, I'm making all things new." And that includes you. You will have a new glorified body. Your soul will be renewed with no more sin or sorrow to weigh you down. The same Lord who said on the cross, "It is finished," now will declare, "It is done. The goal has been reached." Dear friends, this is the new you have to look forward to. It will be so much better than the sadness we experience in our now. But because we have this new to look forward to give us hope and strength to carry on, this hope will enliven and enlighten even our darkest days. And the joy of the future will sneak into our present, knowing that even now we have Christ our Lord with us, leading us forward toward that day when he returns. Hear again what Jesus says to you today. "You have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." That is a promise you can count on today and forever. Amen.